Well, let's read this passage from Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 down through verse 20, and then we'll have a word of prayer and continue in our time in the Word this morning. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore," you see a little bit of an emphasis here, right? "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Heavenly Father, I thank you for how our hearts have already been encouraged and pointed to you this morning. And I pray that as we look into your word, that you would continue to do that, continue to stir our hearts to love you more, to lean on you as we should. And Lord, I pray that we would go away this morning more desirous of knowing you. Lord, thank you for the text of Scripture, Lord, that we have. You have not left us alone, but you have given us your word, and the Holy Spirit can apply it. Lord, may that happen this morning as we hear it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Personally, I am a do kind of person. And I don't say this in a complete positive sense. I like to see action. I like to see results. I like when it's happening. When there's stuff going on, I want to be in the middle of it. My family thinks that may be part of the reason I like being in a city. Even where we're going in Hong Kong, it's hard for me to just sit back and wait. I remember this was one of the many lessons I had to learn as I was helping Julie through her battle with cancer. There wasn't anything I could do to fix it. And I think for many of us, and maybe you have this tendency as well, because of this propensity, often prayer becomes hard for us because we don't see immediate results. Or even obvious results because of this activity. Many of us tend to be people of working at places of action. We like things to be fast-paced. We like nonstop lives. And actually, in the culture that we live in, it's just a part of what has manifested itself with technology. And I can only speak for myself, but I have a hard time sitting still. And I think that's what can be so dangerous about a busy, fast-paced life. Because often the busyness is all, or at least mostly, very good. But the action or doing things isn't enough. It's actually not even the most important. And it's most likely wasted or definitely not as profitable time without the conscious activity, so to speak, and you could put that in quotes, this activity of being still and communing with God. When Pastor and Rena came in and saw Julie and I in the hospital almost 7 years ago, or a little over 7 years ago, he read, and he may not remember this, but I have it written in my Bible, he read Psalm 46. In the start of Psalm 46, you see all these really kind of cataclysmic events happening. The earth going into sea, the mountains passing. It was like all this major stuff happening. And you know, at the end of that passage in Psalm 46, we are told, "Be still and know that I am God." I think it is so easy for us to equate success with activity. I'm speaking for myself here too. with numbers, with people and programs. And you know, we may not always have the same numbers or the same amount of activity going on or be involved in the same amount of Christian stuff, so to speak. But we can always have a deep, God-blessed ministry if we will pray. You know, you'd think that I would have learned perfectly the lesson of prayer while my wife was battling cancer, or even the 13 months afterward when I was struggling to be a single dad of five kids. But let's face it, not just in this area, but in many areas, we are often quick to forget lessons we've learned. We need reminders, and actually much of Scripture is all about that. Reminding us of things that we have learned at one time, but that we need to be constantly assured of and brought back to our thinking. And then God will bring things into our lives that seem to drive us back to Himself, and we have no idea how to handle it. So what do? Well, we try everything else, and then it's like, oh yeah, that hasn't worked, so maybe I ought to pray, right? I mean, are you like this too? I think we can all tend to be this way. We try worry. That'll solve it, right? I'll just worry about it. We try anxiety. And I know I'm saying try these things. We don't intentionally go, I'm going to be anxious about this. But we end up in these scenarios. We try panic. We often will try medication or even activity. Just doing more. And then we pray. And in doing so, we miss one of the most basic elements and the absolute necessity of our walk with God. And that is being people of prayer. You know, I don't know about you, but I can tend to even be this way in my own personal time with the Lord. I love studying God's Word. I love digging into the text. I love reading and maybe even journaling or preparing for something you're going to share. Even memorizing, although that's a little more difficult, okay? But when it comes to prayer, we often stop short because it doesn't feel like we're doing something. It doesn't feel like an action, although it was arguably the most important part of what I am doing to cultivate a walk with God. You know, actually, because of this struggle in my own life, I don't know, I'm sure pastor has been there before, it makes it even hard to preach on a subject that you know that you wrestle with so much. So this morning, I hope it's very clear. This is not something that I have mastered. This is not something I'm saying, hey, what's wrong with you people? No, it's something the Lord is burdening me again with that I need to be reminded of. And I hope that you can even listen in a little bit this morning on how God is challenging me so that we may all be people of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, you read verses 10 through 17, and it is all about action. It's about taking things up. It's about standing firm. It's about doing things, and they are all valuable things. The shield, the sword, the helmet, the belt, the shoes, on and on. And this standing firm, being ready for action, this battle is definitely a part of it. And maybe it's because growing up in Christian circles, we kind of have the VBS on the pieces of the armor of God, but we often miss verses 18 and 19, which really are the summary of all of it. We read these verses this morning, but let me read them again. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And so what I want us to do in our time this morning is to look at this necessity of prayer. I'm horrible with sermon titles, okay? If you're a really good preacher, I think you learn to do really good sermon title. Pastor was like, give me a sermon title. Your bulletin says ready for action. And really, the only thing that brought that to mind is this sense that, you know, we want to do. And actually, we're not ready to do until we have been here in this matter of prayer. Sure, does God intercede on our behalf? Does God take our offerings and multiply them for His glory? Yes. But there is no doubt that we are missing a key element of our ministry and a key element of our action if we neglect this area of prayer. Number one, I want us to see quickly the need for prayer. The need for prayer. And he gives it very, very concisely in verse 18, praying at all times. And the idea of this conclusion here to this section is that prayer is actually given a greater prominence in the context of the battle language. It's actually given more, put on a higher pedestal, so to speak, than all the other pieces because of the battle that we are in. It highlights the point of standing firm and praying belonging together. In other words, they're intertwined. You can't do one without the other. R. Kent Hughes said this, those who would engage in spiritual warfare, regardless of how well they wear truth and righteousness and faith and salvation, regardless of how well they are grounded in peace, how well they wield the sword of the Word of God, must make prayer the first thing. And if you're like I am, we often make it the last thing. It's not preparing for action. It's like a tag on at the end of all the action we have been doing, hoping then God will bless what we've already done. But it's prayer that is the needed thing in the midst of the battle. So the apostle wants them to realize that a life of dependence on God in prayer is essential. It's not an add-on. It's an essential if we're going to engage successfully in warfare with the powers of darkness. So there's a need for prayer. But second of all, he highlights the frequency of our prayer. In verse 18, he says, praying at all times. It is a consistent, ongoing thing. And I think for every one of us here, we would agree that the struggle against the flesh, the struggle against spiritual wickedness that's mentioned in chapter 6, is ongoing. There's not a break that is taken for that. I wish there was, don't you? I wish there was like one day of a week where you don't battle the flesh. You know? I mean, I don't know what day that would be. Maybe Sunday? I don't know. Okay. But it doesn't work that way. The battle for the flesh, the spiritual struggle that is going on, is continual. And so Paul says, praying at all times. We think of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when we talk about this, pray without ceasing. Or it's why Paul in 2 Timothy 1 assures Timothy that he's praying for him night and day. And this praying at all times or praying without ceasing is not some weird incessant mumbling where we walk around. That's not the idea. I think we know that. So what are we talking about? Well, as you face temptation, pray. As you experience a blessing from God, pray and thank Him for it. As you're frustrated by what's going on and the evil around you, pray. As you're engaged in conversation with someone who needs Christ, or maybe in a conversation that can be sensitive, pray. As you're engaged in difficulties, pray. In other words, it ought to be at the forefront of our mind that we are taking these things to God. That's praying at all times. John MacArthur summarized it this way. He said, in other words, our life becomes a continually ascending prayer, a perpetual communing with our Heavenly Father. And that is the spirit that Paul is admonishing us with here. The frequency of our prayers at all times. But then he talks about the guidance for our prayer. Look what he says here in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that is guiding us and directing us. It's the same Spirit that he mentions in chapter 2, verse 18, that gives us access to the Father. It's the same Spirit that he talks of filling us in chapter 5, verse 18. It's the same Spirit that is called our Comforter. And the Spirit that even guides us when we don't know exactly how we ought to pray. Have you been there? Lord, I don't even know what to pray about this. Or I'm just so troubled. I don't know what your will is. Guide me. Paul says in Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know what the next verse is? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. You know, there's no problem pulling that verse out and utilizing it. There's nothing wrong. But when you see it in the context, it even has more beautiful meaning. That God will take our prayers when we have these things going on, we don't even know how to pray. And God says, you know what? You have the Holy Spirit to guide you. He is going to intercede on your behalf. So pray in the Spirit because God is working all things together for good. And you can trust Him. This is not a spooky trying to figure out, okay, what does the Lord want me to pray? But a sensitivity to the Spirit that as we pray, we take things to God, not just haphazardly, but seeking His will. Next, we see this priority or the urgency of our prayer. There's a certain priority that is placed on this. There's a certain urgency that is placed on this. When He says, keep alert, says to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. The King James has the word watching. The ESV uses the phrase keep alert, closely looking after something, being on guard, taking care of something. And then the perseverance is an urgency. It is a firm persistence. It's a devotion to something. We see these emphasized throughout the New Testament. I'll just mention these quickly. In Mark 14, Jesus tells the disciples, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And we all quote that all the time. Amen. We are weak. So do what? Well, watch and pray. Be alert. Be vigilant. In Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow, right at the start, we're told why this parable is there. He told this parable to the effect that they ought to pray and not lose heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we're told to be constant in prayer. This is the idea of overcoming laziness and tiredness and apathy in order to pray persistently and in a persevering way, even when it is not convenient. And let's face it, prayer is rarely convenient. I remember Pastor many times when we were at Bethany Bible talking about how often our prayer meetings are some of the least attended services of anything we do and have. And it really is backwards, isn't it? It ought to be high priority. Because all this other stuff we're doing without this foundation of prayer is not as useful as it could be for the glory of God. So there's a priority and an urgency of prayer. Well, then he also talks about the scope of our prayer. I know I'm moving through these quickly. This idea, the scope of our prayer. Look at verses 18 and 19. Because we see here four times in these two verses a word, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And I think Paul, by the inspiration of Scripture, is giving us a little bit of an emphasis here that the scope of this prayer is all-encompassing. He is showing us in a most emphatic way the significance of what we are supposed to be doing. He says it like this in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. It's all encompassing. Then he deals with the content of our prayer. What is it we are supposed to be praying? Verse 18, he refers to it as prayer and supplication. Later on in verse 18, he uses the same idea, this idea of supplication or making requests. Some have tried to detail out the differences in these, and there probably are some unique differences. Some have said one is a more general term addressing prayer to God. The other, where he says supplication for all the saints, obviously indicates that we're praying for others. Paul's example of praying for others is a consistent one. Almost the beginning of every one of his epistles, Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, we see him praying specifically for the needs of the other people in the body of Christ. And you know, I hope we don't miss this in praying for others. Just this morning, I got a text from a pastor that I haven't heard from in probably a month, maybe 2 months. He just said, I want to let you know, Matt, I'm praying for you this morning. I don't know how much he thought that would mean on his end. I don't know if he thought, oh, this is going to be a huge blessing to Matt, or if he thought, oh, I'll just let him know I prayed for him this morning. But what a blessing and an encouragement. One of the things I learned really quickly, when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through it, when somebody says to you, I'm praying for you, that is huge. Maybe when you say it to that person, you're like, oh, it seems so trite, it seems so small, I'm praying for you. Oh yeah, that's what we all say, it's kind of Christian speak. Well, hopefully it's not just Christian speak. But the fact that you're saying that is a legitimate expression biblically of what we ought to be doing as the body of Christ. It's not a small thing. When you say, I don't know what else I can do other than pray. Well, guess what? Praying is incredible for the saints. It's what we ought to be doing. And it's not just physical prayers for one another, although that encompasses it. But it's the spiritual well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to pray for all saints. I don't know about you, but I need the prayers of other brothers and sisters in Christ if I'm going to remain firm in the thick of battle. The onslaught of the enemy is real. And Paul says we ought to be praying one for another as we try to take the sword of the Spirit, as we try to wear the helmet of salvation, as we try to stand firm. We need the prayer of the body of Christ. And these prayers go to our God. So we're praying to God on behalf of others. Paul gets really specific about the content of our prayer in verse 19. He says, pray also for me. Have you ever felt, oh, it's just kind of selfish if I ask somebody to pray for me, and I don't know, you know, I don't want to think it's really bad. And Paul's like, just right out, hey, pray for me, please. I need this. And what does he ask for prayer for? Have you ever heard somebody pray, Lord, be with Pastor Stikes as he preaches, that he would know what to say, that he'd have the words to say? That's actually biblical. It's actually right exactly what Paul says here. He prays that he would know what to say. Pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly. Lord, help me know what to say. Pray for me that I would say the appropriate things and that I would be firm and bold in saying it. Do you recognize that those of us who share the gospel of Christ on a regular basis in this setting, it is tempting to not be bold? Do you recognize individually as you share the truth of the gospel that there are often times where you're not sure what to say? And even if you were sure what to say, you're not sure you're bold enough to say it? This is an appropriate prayer for us to pray, yes, for your pastor, yes, for those who are proclaiming from the pulpit, but individually, we would pray this for ourselves. We would pray this for others. Help them that they would know what to say and they would be bold to say it. So, in general, pray so that we can put on the spiritual armor to be strong and stand firm in the midst of great spiritual warfare. I think as a young man, I remember hearing messages on prayer, and it would always conclude with a, here's the way it ought, I shouldn't say always, but often maybe in my teenage mind, I remember thinking, okay, this is the result, then I need to get up at a certain time, or I need to do this activity. And you know what? That is a part of it, okay? There is nothing wrong with establishing those kinds of things. A prayer list can be a helpful tool. A time, a specific time that you are praying. But folks, I think in general, what I really want to challenge us with this morning is simply this. If we are not praying, we are missing out on an essential ingredient to live this battle of the Christian life that we are called to live. My wife and I enjoy, my wife enjoys exercising, okay? I do it because I need to. And you know what? 1 Timothy tells us that bodily exercise profits what? Little. Amen, right? Okay. Profits just a little. But you know, the next phrase, the whole point of the contrast is this, but godliness is profitable for all things. It profits every area. And you know, the correlation that Paul uses with physical activity is actually a really good correlation, because bodily exercise is not easy. It takes work. It takes discipline. It's often hard, and you often don't see immediate results. You ever been there? I've said no to a dessert 3 days in a row. There should be some change, right? Or I ran 3 miles today. I haven't run in 3 months, but I ran 3 miles today. Why do I look the same? No, we tend to think like that. And Paul's point about bodily exercise and all that we go to do that, all that people wrestle through to see that little bit of effort pay off, he uses that to say, you know what, that's great, that's fine, but that's so short-lived, and it's such a small area. Why aren't we willing to put in a little work, a little discipline, something actually maybe a little bit out of our comfort zone for godliness, which is profitable for everything? That's kind of the thing that overwhelmed me in this text, is that, you know what, hey, all these pieces of the armor, wonderful things, great things, but I wouldn't say wasted if you're not in prayer, but definitely not as effective, definitely not as strengthened, definitely not as useful. So may we be individually people of prayer. And may this church, Gateway Baptist Church, by God's grace, be a church that is filled with people of prayer so that we may stand firm against the onslaught of the enemy that comes at us from every direction.